Plant on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. Eve Lazarus joins me. She's originally from Melbourne. For over 20 years now, she's lived in Greater Vancouver. She's written a really neat book called At Home with History, The Untold Secrets of Greater Vancouver's Heritage Homes. It is a collection of stories about some of the storied homes in the area, from brothels to bootlegging operations to the Ku Klux Klan. Vancouver homes have housed them all. It's an instructive and interesting look at the city and its peoples. Eve Lazarus is a freelance journalist and writer whose work has appeared in many publications, including the Globe and Mail and BC Business. Anvil Press is the publisher of At Home with History, which retails for $20. The website, incidentally, is evelazarus.com. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Eve Lazarus. Good morning, Ms. Lazarus.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How does a house in Greater Vancouver, at least, get designated as heritage? What does that entail?
Well, I couldn't tell you. Sorry. It wasn't something that I covered as heritage designations.
What's the common thread, though, amongst these homes that you write about? I mean, they're of a certain age, are they?
Well, yes, they are, but mainly because they had the best stories. But I use heritage really loosely. I covered everything from, you know, amazing mansions in Shaughnessy that were very much on the heritage register to very small sort of workers' cottages in Strathcona, which wouldn't have been, but had great stories. So it was all about the story.
I guess I ask because we hear of so-called heritage houses that they're protected from demolishing or remodeling extensively. Are the houses that you write about, are they protected from that?
Some of them would be, especially again the Shaughnessy chapter. Most of those houses were built and are massive mansions and would be protected, but most of the by far the vast majority of the houses in the book aren't, and that was one of my interests. You know, since I've moved to Vancouver, I've been looking at these fantastic old houses being pulled down year after year and replaced with monster houses or parking lots or whatever, and, you know, perfectly solid houses that have come down. And I guess my argument would be the social history of a house, I think, is every bit as important as the architectural merits when looking at preserving them. So in a way, I wanted to tell the stories and hopefully make people think twice before they rip them down.
And the criteria for inclusion in your book was just that they were good stories, right?
Pretty much so, yeah.
They're lavish homes in Shaughnessy, and then you talked about some of the ones in Strathcona in East Vancouver. Is there a common thread amongst the stories, just interesting people or interesting times?
Well, some of them, wherever possible, I've tried to put a context in it. I start the book with Strathcona and really start looking at the Depression area of the 30s, where people scraped together doing whatever they could. They bootlegged, they took in boarders, there were brothels down there, whatever they could to sort of survive through the Depression. And that really fascinated me, and I tracked down a number of the people there that remembered their parents bootlegging through that area. I found a policeman who used to walk the beat in the Depression, and talked to some really fascinating people that could tell me the stories that just weren't documented anywhere else.
You talk about this desire for this fascination and this importance of social history. When you talk to people who lived in the neighborhoods, who worked in the neighborhoods, do you find that there's a great desire on their part to talk about essentially their lives?
Oh, certainly. Certainly there is. I think they're proud of where they grew up in most cases and have really warm memories of their houses and the areas. And I think Strathcona was a particularly interesting one because the last chapter ended with the Chinese in Vancouver, and I got quite fascinated with some of the Chinese prominent people, I guess, in the community, and was just intrigued to learn that the Chinese, a couple of, in particular, the Chans and the Cons, worked together to save Chinatown and Strathcona and half of Gastown under some proposal that the city wanted to sort of rip them all down and declare it as a slum.
You write in the book, you call it your obsession with house histories began in 2002. How did that come about?
Oh, a couple of ways. A couple of things sort of came at the same time. I'd heard about a guy called James Johnston, and James does these amazing sort of histories. You'll go to him and say, this is the house I want researched. It was built in 1910, and James will basically create a book he'll tell you who lived in there, what the house was used for, what these people did, who they married, and newspaper articles, everything. And I was quite intrigued. I started writing newspaper magazine articles about this and collected stories from other parts of the country. And at the same time, I found an old book that it's a biography of my aunt in Australia, and it talked about my father's family home in the early sort of 20th century. And while I was back in Australia, I went and visited them and said, please give me a tour through the house, and in exchange, I'll share the first 30 years of your house and social history. And it was just this fantastic exchange of information, and found out that my grandmother, for instance, according to the book, who was quite eccentric, she died years before I was born, and as the children, there are 8 of them, would leave and move out of the house, she'd physically have the rooms locked off. So I was telling these people that had lived in the house for 20 years, and they said, oh, wow, you've solved our 20-year mystery while we had all these doors that led to nowhere. So just all these things came together, and I'd collect more and more stories, and I just felt it had to be a book.
Well, I mentioned brothels and bootlegging operations. Where did they center and when?
Well, most of it was around the 30s, and the bootlegging sort of came up not so much because, well, we didn't have prohibition. There was prohibition in the United States, of course, but not in BC at that time. It was only very short-lived here. It was mainly because of the government liquor-run stores and the opening hours, and people would drop by for a drink, or they'd have boarders in the house, and just with the Depression couldn't afford to sort of give away drinks, so they'd started selling them, and it became sort of a public service, I guess.
This is great. The bibliography in the back is terrific because it's quite extensive, and there are, I would say, well, I don't know, common themes, I guess, amongst the books that you looked at. Are there any in particular that are must reads for people who are interested about this city, about Vancouver, Greater Vancouver?
Well, I'd say one of the most important social history books that I came across was a book called Opening Doors, and basically it's two women, Daphne Marlett and Carol Ider, in 1979, put together. They just interviewed all these residents of Strathcona, and and taped them and wrote them up. And it's just this fantastic social history, and it just, talks about all the sort of stuff and social history. And of course, they're long dead now, so that would be, it's very hard to get hold of. It's sort of out of print now, but I thought that was an amazing book. And of course, just the Vancouver Heritage Register has amazing information on houses that are on it, which are really good. And then, of course, we've got some amazing... Part of the problem was not so much the gathering the stories for me, it was putting it into a historical context. And part of the fun of it was just learning more about the city. And there's amazing, amazing local writers. Chuck Davis has done the Greater Vancouver book, and it's just such a huge history. Michael Kluckner's a fantastic artist, and he's written a number of books about Vancouver. Janet Bingham's written about people like Samuel McClure, an architect that had so much to do with some of the older houses in the city. Donald Luxton, again, Building the West, and a number of other historical books. So really, put it into perspective.
Social history is something that has become relatively a new phenomenon, that we're not looking merely at historical events of politicians or larger-than-life figures in our history, but I guess at the grassroots level, if you will. Do you find that there's a greater desire for social history and the telling of that?
I think it's huge at the moment, and you can see that through just the whole interest in genealogy and people wanting to connect. And I found, with this thing with a house, whenever I'm talking to people about it, everyone's got their own story about a house that they grew up in or a house that they lived near or someone, just doing up a house and residents drop by and live there in the 30s. And yeah, I think it's really, really huge.
I'm talking with Eve Lazarus about her book, At Home with History, The Untold Secrets of Greater Vancouver's Heritage Homes, $20 from Anvil Press. EveLazarus.com is her website. Eve, when you talk about some of the people that lived in these houses, some of them seem larger than life. Is there one in particular that's memorable to you?
Oh, absolutely. It would be Alvo von Alvensleben. He was a son of a German count that came to Vancouver in 1904 with $4 in his pocket. And within the 10 years he lived in Vancouver, he brought something millions and millions of dollars of German investment into the city. He built the Dominion Tower, and still there on Hastings Street, which at the time was the biggest building in the British Empire. And he lived in what's now Crofton Girls House. That was his primary residence, and had 13 acres, big stables and horses. He had a hunting lodge just around me, where I live in North Vancouver, that sort of looks right out to Burrard Inlet. He built the Wigwam Inn on Indian River. And he was a huge land speculator, and had houses that we tracked down to Surrey and Pitt Meadows, and even in Washington State. And he had a sort of a short time here when war broke out. He was thought to be a German spy and fled to the States. And when the States eventually joined the war, he was interned for about 4 years, and the family escaped with anything that they could sort of throw in the car, which wasn't all that much. But just a really, really interesting sort of larger-than-life character that really put his stamp on Vancouver and had a great name.
Are there homes in this book that are no longer standing?
No. There's only one story in the book. It was really important to me that the house still be standing. One story I've written about was in the West End, and it was this fantastic story where it was an old West End house, which would be on now what's the corner of Thurlow and Robson, one of the office of the towers now. But in 1918, the second flight of the seaplane was going over the city. It was just a huge event at that time. People just hadn't seen anything like it. And the engine cut out and the plane dropped, and it fell on the roof of this house, which was owned by a local doctor. And it turned out that the pilot was fine, and he just climbed through the house, went down the stairs and came out the door. So I've got that story and this wonderful picture I found at the archives to go with that. And I couldn't resist not putting it in, but that's the only house that's not there.
What do you think it says about the city, about Vancouver in particular, because I'm speaking to you from Vancouver, the city of Vancouver, about the people that own these houses versus the people that lived in them? Do you find that the people that lived in these homes were homeowners?
I didn't differentiate, and again, it's really hard to tell. When you're doing or researching the history of a home and you're looking up sort of who lived there, you go firstly to the directories, and usually the Vancouver Archives or Special Collections or microfiche, and it's really difficult to tell who actually owned it. To do that, you'd have to do a land title search, which is quite expensive and just too time-consuming for what I needed.
But do you find that these character houses, obviously the ones in Shaughnessy that are have the heritage distinction, did you find that they're threatened constantly by development and the sort?
Again, depending on the area, I think, you know, you look at areas like Strathcona and Mount Pleasant, and they've done an amazing job of bringing density into the city. And I think people are really valuing heritage, and if you look even at sales, real estate sales, I mean, if you've got a heritage house, it seems to collect a premium, which is direct contrast from either not that many years ago when it was old, you pulled it down.
There's a chapter in the book about the murders in Vancouver homes, and I found that fascinating, not because I'm particularly interested in murder, but because of the stories that you were able to put together and weave. And I guess, do we say that there's been an epidemic of murder? I guess not, but what do you think about the murders that you write about? What does it say, do you think, of the city? They all had to do somewhat of socioeconomic reasons, right?
Right. I was actually surprised that there weren't that many for a city that size.
That's true, but some of them have become storied, like 3851 Osler, which was...
Oh, the Janet Smith one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost urban sort of culture now, isn't it?
It's become a myth almost. What happened there? And I guess she was a servant, was she? And the one that was accused of murdering her was a servant as well of Chinese background, correct?
That's right, yeah. It was a huge, huge case in 1924 that really pitted the Chinese community against, you know, the police force and the wealthy in Shaughnessy and everything else. She was a nanny for a wealthy family who lived on Osler Street in Shaughnessy, and she was murdered, and as you mentioned, the Chinese servant was blamed, but it was just such a huge botch-up. It was like something that you know, might see in CSI or something like that.
talking about where these murders took place, and they happen all over the city. You mentioned Osler and Shaughnessy and in Mount Pleasant and the east side and so on. Did you encounter at all ghost stories?
Yes. Actually, I ran a chapter on ghosts that seemed to run beautifully after the murder chapter, and the two chapters were really interesting. The ghosts was a lot of fun, and there are sort of, well, I guess, better-known buildings like Burnaby Art Gallery and Irving House in New Westminster, but also came across a lot of just regular houses that had found some sort of presence, and everything from sort of poltergeists to a house. It seemed to be one of the more common ones was hearing children, voices, and children running around the steps and up and down when you know that there was no one in the house, and strange things opening and closing, and they all seemed to have a common theme that either people were renovating or they just moved in, and the ghost seemed to disappear after a certain time.
And in terms of more newer homes and so on, they obviously have stories too. What should people do about perhaps putting down to paper the history of their homes, perhaps for future generations?
Oh, I think it's really, really important. And I think just to find out something about the history of your home isn't that difficult. Especially if your house is a fairly newer one, there's usually older people in the area that remember a huge amount about your house. If you can just find out names of residents, you can track down their descendants and, you know, some really great stories just through newspaper clippings, obituaries, database searches in the library. Vital Statistics has an enormous amount of information about people that you can access from your computer at home. There's just, you know, quite a lot of stuff available, as well as photos, you know, through the archives and special collections.
You must have had fun. I mean, I'm just looking at some of these photos in the book, and getting to see them must have been finding them and putting them together for the book must have been just great fun for you.
Just the whole thing about the book was such a blast, you know, being able to skulk around neighborhoods, and occasionally, you know, people would see me in the bushes, invite me in and give me a tour of the house.
Really?
And just sourcing the photos was great. As much as possible, I tried to get them from residents, but, you know, I guess they're just not that much available. I would have loved to have had many, many more.
And the reaction to the book has been what?
Well, it seems to be selling well. I noticed this week it's number 9 on the Vancouver Sun's Best BC, which is great.
Right.
And, I'm getting a lot of email with people sharing their own stories, which I really encourage. And sort of feedback from people, oh, yeah, you wrote about my uncle, and he was a bootlegger, and here's the photos. That sort of thing. So yeah, it's been great.
Did you see yourself doing another sort of book like this about Vancouver, perhaps?
Well, can't help myself. I really miss it now. It's out, so I've been researching Victoria.
Ah, really? Well, Eve, thanks so much for joining us. And
thank you.
Continued good luck with this book. And I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
Eve Lazarus is the author of At Home with History, The Untold Secrets of Greater Vancouver's Heritage Homes, $20 from Anvil Press. The website for more is evelazarus.com. I'm Joseph Planta.